talk about a parable, the one of the unjust steward. Now, this is found in Luke chapter 16, if you'd like to read along, the first part of that chapter. Verse 1, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me their stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their homes, into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they might receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So, it's a good story, but how about some understanding on that? God wants us to understand His Word. So, in the first two verses, where it speaks of the rich man that has a steward, the steward was wasting his goods, and the rich man called the steward in to give an account of this, because he was going to remove him from the stewardship. What does this mean? Well, the certain rich man is symbolic of God. The steward is symbolic of the religious leaders, the leaders of the Jewish nation who are responsible for keeping God's laws. Rather than keeping the word and spirit that God had given them, they had robbed God, as we read in Malachi chapter 1 and also verse 3, that the leaders were robbing God by perverting His laws. Now, when Christ came with a new testament, a new covenant, a deeper depth of spirit, the religious leaders should have accepted the message and remained stewards. But they couldn't, because they hadn't been faithful with what they had already had of God. So the steward says to himself in verse 3, What am I going to do? The Lord is taking away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. So the question that he asks shows the choice that was really set before the religious leaders. God didn't really take away their stewardship. It was their choice that caused it to be lost. Because rather than be meek or teachable and receive this deeper depth that Christ was had come to give them, they continued the pattern that was already established in the Old Testament. They rejected Christ just as their forefathers had rejected the prophets that God had sent to them. Now, when he says, I cannot dig, it shows that there was no way for them to get these truths on their own, no matter how much they tried. The religious leaders were too proud to ask someone else for help. They didn't want to hear the words that Jesus said, because they thought they were supposed to be the leaders. So they would be ashamed. They would move backward in their progress toward God. They would be degressing or moving backward. So he says to himself, well, I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they'll receive me into their houses. So he's got a plot here to make himself popular with the people. The unjust steward reasons that instead of moving on with God, he'll just continue to preach out lesser depth ideas and opinions, because people will accept those into their minds, which is what the house is symbolic of. He says, I'll just say something a little bit easier, a little bit kinder. Well, I'll just make myself a little more popular by saying what the people want to hear. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors to them, and he asked the first, well, how much do you owe? So the Lord's debtors are those, which really is everyone, that we owe something to God because of the word and spirit that he has given to us. And so this steward that is not faithful, he said, he asked him, how much do you owe? And the man answers, 100 measures of oil. And the steward says, well, just sit down and change your bill. Write out 50 instead. This shows the unjust steward, he's already been misusing the things of God that he was responsible for, so he simply continues to preach and teach an easy, a soft message to the people that he is responsible for. Now, this is what Paul was talking about in the book of 2 Timothy, when he talked about preachers and teachers that were preaching out a soft message to itchy ears, just something that will tickle your ears, something you want to hear. And so also it says in Jeremiah that the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. So this had been a pattern established already in the Old Testament, and with the religious leaders, it didn't change when a deeper depth of spirit came into being. It's essentially the same story when he asks to the other man, how much do you owe? And this time it's the answer is 100 measures of wheat, and he says, well, just write out 80. The two differences in these things, however, oil shows spirit that we owe back to God because of what he has given us, and the wheat shows God's word. As it says, the seed is the word of God. So God has also entrusted his word in our mind. And what we owe to God for him giving us his word and spirit is that we should be using and working that. But instead, this unjust or unfaithful steward doesn't tell people what God wants of them. He says just a soft, easy message to make himself more popular in their eyes. So in verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he'd done wisely, saying that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now this response to this unjust or unfaithful steward is tongue-in-cheek. In other words, it's not really the way the Lord felt about it. It's not really the way God feels about it. But it's saying, go ahead, stay where you are spiritually. Don't change your life. Don't move on with God. Now this, of course, would cause them to die spiritually. But, hey, you'll be able to keep your position. You'll be able to keep your congregation. You'll be able to stay popular with the people. Well, God doesn't want it to be that way, but that is many times the choices that religious leaders will make. Now, the children of this world represent carnal thoughts and ideas. The children of light represent spiritual thoughts and ideas. And this is just another way of saying it seems that it's always easier to yield one's mind over to evil than it is to work to yield one's mind to good. The unjust steward would be yielding his mind to evil rather than to good, and he's encouraging others to do the same. So he says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Making friends with the mammon again shows God expressing this idea in a mocking manner. If you want carnal things, go for it. You don't get eternal life by going after carnal things, but, well, at least you'll have the company of others who are also rejecting my deeper truths. The everlasting habitation is, it shows that as long as the habitations or the minds of these people were in existence, well, the thoughts of the unjust steward would have a home. So in verse 10 he said, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that's unjust in the least is unjust in much. This shows that if a person keeps the little things that God gives them, they will continue to be faithful as God continues to give them deeper truths, deeper depths of his word. Now if a person doesn't keep the truths that they're given in a lesser depth, why would he expect them to keep deeper truths? They won't be able to do so. Verse 11 said, if you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The point that's emphasized here is, again, if a person doesn't keep the truths that they have been given in a lesser depth, how will they be expected to keep deeper truths? Verse 12, if you've not been faithful in that which was another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Well, the religious leaders had been given another man's, symbolic of God's, law to take care of, and they hadn't done it. Now why would God give them his New Testament grace and his deeper truth to crucify their old man? They would just pervert that as they did the lesser depth. Verse 13 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, despise the other." He says here that you cannot serve God and mammon. So this is where Christ is beginning to summarize the parable that he has just given. The example is that you can't work for two bosses. It's the same in the spirit realm. You can't serve God and serve evil at the same time. Serving means to give out, kind of like a waiter serves food in a restaurant. A person can't serve out or give ideas from their mind that are God's ideas and man's ideas at the same time. A choice needs to be made as to which we want to serve, God or mammon, mammon being these lesser depths. Verse 14 shows the reaction that the Pharisees had. It says they were covetous. They heard these things and they derided Christ for saying them. So this verse shows us that the religious leaders understood that this parable was directed at them. But because they had a self-right spirit, they thought they were right with what they were doing. They didn't want to hear Christ's message. So we always need to be aware that a self-right spirit in us could tell us that we know more than the message being presented to us. And that would cause us to miss out. That would cause us to be an unjust or an unfaithful steward with what God has given to us. God wants us not to have a self-right spirit. He wants us to be meek and teachable, to move on with Him when He gives us something more. In verse 15, he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Now the point of this parable is sharpened, because here Christ points out their self-justification. They liked the praise of men. They liked the attention they were getting. This is something that God has always hated. As we see God working through Christ in Matthew 23, he says that regarding these religious leaders, that they were making long prayers just to be seen of men. They were doing all of these things, and they loved to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. And that shows the motivation that the religious leaders had. But God doesn't want us to be in that condition. He wants us to move on when he presents us with a deeper depth of his spirit.